Well, the further and further I go in life, the better I like to hear the word young attached to my name. Yeah, I'm just enjoying it while I can, I tell you. That's a blessing. Well, Brother Dallas had asked me to speak today. He was scheduled to do a conference today in connection with Penfield, but the conference was canceled due to the storm. So since I was already scheduled to be here, we just went ahead with it. And so that's why I'm standing up here today, if you're wondering, this morning. But of course, God works all things out according to His will and His plan. And so He's got a purpose in it. And so we'll just praise Him and glorify Him this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin this morning. Dear God, we come before You today and we are so thankful for Your many blessings that You give to us day by day. Your word tells us that Your mercies are new day by day, and indeed they are. You've given us salvation through Jesus who died on the cross to pay for our sins, and You've given us many, many blessings besides, and we are just so grateful and thankful for all of them. We're grateful that You have given us Your word, that we can look into it and discover the truths about You and Your works and Your ways. You introduce Yourself to us in Your word and tell us how we may be in fellowship with You, and we are grateful for that. And it's my prayer this morning that You would speak to us, that You would use me as Your mouthpiece, and that You would speak to us through Your word this morning and tell us about Yourself and Your works and Your ways, and draw us into a closer walk with You than we have had up to now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, everything has just fit beautifully along with what I had planned to speak on this morning. The conversations, the songs, everything. And you'll see that as we go into it this morning. I've titled the message, The Effects of Little Faith. We're in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. We'll begin there, and you'll see why in just a moment. The big elephant in the room everybody's talking about, everybody has on their mind, is the big storm, Hurricane Irma, that is approaching. People are concerned about that, and rightfully so, and taking necessary precautions, and rightfully so. It would be foolish not to take what precautions we can when we know that something is approaching, and so we just want to be cautious and look to that. That's not a lack of faith. That's simply exercising the intelligence that God has graciously given us, given the knowledge that we have. So that's a good thing that people are being prepared. But there are some that are panicking, and there's a difference between preparedness and panic. And when we panic, we become afraid. And when we become afraid, we can either be paralyzed or we can make bad decisions in a moment of panic. And so we don't want to be panicked, because that's not going to help us even in a bad situation. We want to be prepared, but we don't want to panic. Well, what causes people to panic? Well, I believe the passage we're going to look at today will help us with that. Just as we are dealing with a storm today, in this passage, the disciples were dealing with a storm. And Jesus taught them some truths through that storm that will apply to us in the storm that we face today, both the literal storm that we are about to face and the metaphorical storms that we face in our lives. So let's take a look at this morning. This is a familiar passage to many of you this morning. Matthew chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 23. It says, "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. So the men marveled and said, 'Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" A short little story. This is repeated in the Gospel of Mark as well, in the scriptures. An account and from the life of Jesus and his disciples, something that happened to them back then. But Jesus, because he is the teacher, used life circumstances to teach his disciples spiritual truths. And in doing so, because it's recorded for us here today, we can learn the same truths that they learned back then, and we can apply it to our lives now. There are storms and difficulties in life. If anybody told you when you become a Christian you are immune to all of the difficulties and trials in life, then they told you a lie. These men were literally with Jesus in the boat, and they still encountered a storm. We encounter storms and trials in our life as well. But just as Jesus was with them in their storm, he's with us in our storm if we're putting our trust in him. So the same principles can apply. Here we see three effects of little faith. That was the thing that Jesus addressed in their life, was little faith. He didn't say they didn't have any faith. He just said they had little faith. And there are three effects of little faith we want to look at this morning. First, little faith affects how we follow Christ. Let's notice first in verses 23 and 24 that the disciples were actually following Jesus. I think sometimes they don't get enough credit. They actually did get in the boat with him, right? If they weren't following him at all, he would have said, get in the boat. And they said, well, we're kind of busy, so we're going to do something else, or, you know, whatever. And there were some people that did that back then, but these guys actually got in the boat with Jesus. It says, now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. They went with Jesus where he was going. They went with Jesus for 3 years during his earthly ministry. Wherever he went, whatever he was doing, they were there involved in what he was doing. So they were following Jesus. But the extent to which we follow Jesus is determined by the level of our faith. Because even though they got in the boat with Jesus, they followed the proximity of Jesus, they did not follow the pattern of Jesus. Because they were there in the boat, but they weren't doing the same thing that Jesus was doing. Jesus, what was he doing? Well, he was asleep. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark, I believe it says he was asleep on a pillow. So you can imagine that, right? They're in the boat. They're sailing along on the sea. The disciples are up doing whatever they're doing. Jesus has got a pillow, taking a nap, just resting in the boat. And they didn't think anything about that until the storm came along. So the storm came along, and the waves started rising, and the water started coming over the boat and into the boat. And then they looked around, and there's Jesus, still sleeping. They were concerned. They were worried. They were afraid. Jesus was not afraid. Not at all. Now, we're tempted to say, well, that's because he was Jesus, and that's true. He was Jesus, and he knew exactly what would happen. But their fear and their indicated some things about their faith at that point. The extent to which they followed him was determined by their faith. Their level of peace was determined by their faith as well. We'll see that a little bit more as we go. If we don't trust Jesus more, we won't follow him more. We'll only follow him as far as we trust him. That's just human nature. We only follow folks as far as we trust them. And so when things are going good, it's easy to follow Jesus, right? Everything's good, everything's great, we're following Jesus, and we're all right. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. When things get rough, then's when we find out just how far our faith goes, the extent that faith goes. And sometimes we find ourselves in those situations not because God is mad at us, but because he is using the situation to stretch our faith beyond what it has been, to grow us, just as he was doing with them. He was about to show them something, and they didn't know what that was yet. All they saw was the big storm washing water up into the boat. They didn't know what Jesus was about to do, but he was about to teach them something and show them something through this circumstance. Jesus was at peace. They were not. They followed him into the boat, but they didn't exactly follow Jesus' pattern. But they were about to learn that pattern. So, as far as our walk with the Lord, our individual walk with the Lord, how this would apply to us is we need to be mindful that it's not just enough to get in the boat. We've got to actually participate in what is going on in Jesus' program. One of the guys who was in the boat was Judas. Judas went with Jesus for 3 years. But we know how Judas turned out in the end. He wound up betraying Christ. So just going along for the ride is not where our faith needs to be. It's a matter of putting our trust in Jesus, connecting to him in a real relationship that's going to make a difference in our life. That's the key. And so when difficulties come, don't automatically assume, well, this is happening because God is mad at me. In the Bible, when God sent calamity because of that, they knew what it was about. There was no question about that. In fact, it was usually preceded by a prophet coming along and telling them, if you don't fix this, God's going to send a calamity your way, and guess what happened? You know, that's what happened. Some people think every time something happens, oh, well, God's upset at something. I don't know what it is, but he's upset at something. No. We live in a fallen world where things happen, where disease happens, where disasters happen. That's because we live in a fallen world. That doesn't mean that God's mad at you. In fact, God may be about to show you something in the midst of what's happening that's going to be amazing, and something that will affect your life forever in a positive way. God masters at taking something bad and turning something good out of it. He does. So when calamity comes our way, fear is not the proper response. Faith is the proper response. That doesn't mean we just throw caution to the wind and not take necessary steps. Of course we do. God gave us a brain for a reason. He expects us to use it. God gave us certain resources, and he expects us to use them in an appropriate manner. But ultimately, there are things that we know we can't control. We just have to trust God with that. And we have to follow him when not only when it's easy, but also when it's tough. But when we do, it will change our life. Our faith gets stronger. When you go through something here, you're better prepared for the next thing that comes along. And we know in life things come. You get through this one, there's going to be something later at some point in life. If you've done some living, you understand that. That you don't just have one problem in life. Problems just come in life because that's just the world we live in. But God uses the thing here to prepare us for what's about to come here. And he'll use that to prepare us for what's coming down the road. And he's growing us along the way. And he's turning all of this stuff, he's using all of this stuff as a gem, if you will, for our spirit, to make us stronger in spirit. So don't lose heart. Trust God, and you will actually, that which you think will break you down will actually make you a stronger individual in the long run. Well, not only does little faith affect how we follow Christ, but also how we fear circumstances, and we've touched on this already. Jesus connected fear with their lack of faith. Look at verse 25. It says, then the disciples came to him and awoke him. They had to wake him up. Can you imagine that? The boat's like, woo, all over the waves and all the water's coming over and all that. And he's still sleeping on the pillow over in the side of the boat, right? And they wake him up and they come to him and, Lord, save us. We're perishing. We're dying here. Is what they're telling him. Now, this has an exclamation mark. So that's why I lifted my... They were upset here, okay? In fact, in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 4:38, they ask him if he cares. Don't you care that we're perishing? You can hear the anxiety in their voice. Don't you care? We're dying here, man. Come on, do something. That's what they were saying to him. So you can see the scene here. It's almost comical. They were so afraid. And they're waking him up. Hey, we're dying here. Don't you care, man? Come on, do something. And so he gets up and he says, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Now that's an amazing statement. Of course they were fearful. Their boat was about to sink, right? That would kind of worry all of us a little bit, wouldn't it? But he said, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? He connects fear with a lack of faith. And so I think that's important for us to realize. We get fearful when at the point where our faith is weak. He didn't say they didn't have any faith, but he said they had little faith. He wanted their faith to grow. He wanted them to have more faith. And that was the exercise that they were going through here. So there was a rebuke of fear as well as a rebuke of the storm. There's two things that Jesus did. He did rebuke the storm. It says he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Basically, he got up, he told it to stop, and it stopped. But he was also concerned with their fear. The storm inside their soul, if you will. He was concerned with that just as much as he was with the storm that was going on in the atmosphere around them. And so Jesus had command of the circumstances. We see that. He just said one, it doesn't even tell us what the words he used. Just says he rebuked it, it's calm, it's gone. He had complete command of the circumstances. Does he not still have complete command of the circumstances, whatever they are? Doesn't matter if it's a 400-mile-wide storm. He has complete control of that. It doesn't matter what it is. He's got complete control of the universe. He holds everything in the palm of his hand. He can speak a single word, and that's all it takes. So he's got control. He's got it. He's got control of it. We don't have to wonder if he can do anything about it. Of course he can. He had command of the circumstances, but he also wanted command of their hearts as well. They weren't completely with him here. Okay? They were wondering if he even cared about them. Don't you care that we're perishing? Of course he cared. And they weren't perishing. He was taking a nap. He wasn't worried about it, right? But it wasn't because he didn't care. It's because he knew he had complete control of the situation and nothing was going to happen to them. So they questioned. So he wanted to get rid of that fear out of them. He wanted to replace that fear with faith, with trust. They believed he could do something, but they weren't sure if he would do something. And that's why they reacted the way they did. They came to him. They said, save us. They knew he could do something, but they just weren't sure if he was going to. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? We know God can do anything. I don't think anybody in this room would say God can't do something. We know he can do anything that he wants to do. But sometimes we're just not sure if he's going to. But you know, the Bible tells us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what it says. Now, I'm just crazy enough to believe it, aren't you? If it says he will never leave us and never forsake us, then that means he will never leave us and never forsake us. That's what it means. It does not mean that we're going to float on a cloud and fly with unicorns. That's not what that means. But it does mean that Jesus is there with us and he's going to take care of us no matter what happens. That's what that means. So yes, things are going to get rocky sometimes. Yes, things are going to get rough sometimes. But yes, Jesus is right there with you to help you get through it. So that's why we don't have to fear. Because we know the one who can take care of our situation. He might not do it the way we want to do it or when we want him to do it, but he knows what needs to be done, and he has the power and the will to do it. Our fear comes from uncertainty. And the uncertainty is a matter of our focus. They were focused on the storm rather than focusing on Jesus. They only found a solution to their problem when they started to focus on Jesus and listen to what he had to say. When we get our focus on the circumstances of life, everything looks bad and crazy and goofy and just outlandish. When we focus on that, it causes confusion and concern in our lives. But when we focus on God, that's when our life gets in line. That's why a daily devotional time with God is critical to your spiritual walk. To get yourself in line with God and ready for the day. Otherwise, you're just kind of swept along with all the stuff that comes. But when you are in tune with God, it will help you weather what comes your way. It will help you not be so fearful and not be so confused. It doesn't mean that you're never going to fear and you're never going to be confused, but you're going to be a whole lot better off when you get in line with God. You won't understand everything. I don't have to understand everything. I don't have to. I just have to know the one that does understand everything. That's all I have to do. And so that's what I need to be focused on. Focus on him, not on the circumstances that are around me. That is cultivated by a daily walk with God. We get closer to God the more we walk with him. And so if you ignore God all the rest of the time and then something comes up and then want to get with God, that doesn't work that well. You haven't spent the time cultivating your relationship with God. And so, you know, that's not going to work. But when you spend the time with God, day by day, good times, bad times, in between times, you develop a rapport with him. He develops a rapport with you. And you understand him better. And you can understand how he's working better. And you have more confidence in him because you're daily in contact with him. At least they were in the boat. Sometimes we don't get in the boat, right? Got to at least be in the boat. Stay in contact with him. But when we do, he can cut through a lot of that fear in our life. He increases our faith, and that dispels the fear, and our life is better as a result. Not only does little faith affect how we follow Christ and fear circumstances, but also little faith affects our familiarity with Christ, how well we know him. We've touched on this, but I want to point out a couple things here. Look at their reaction in verse 27. After Jesus gets up, he tells them, "Why are you fearing, you of little faith?" He gets up, he rebukes the storm. The storm stops. Look at their response. So the men marveled. They were astonished at what they had just seen. Maybe they knew that Jesus could do something like this, but they were just floored that Jesus had just stood up, stopped, peace be still, and it just all, and it was gone. Okay, so they were just kind of sitting there slack-jawed, right? Their mouth gaping open. They marveled, and they were saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" There's an issue of their knowledge of his personality. They ask this question, "Who can this be?" they weren't as familiar with Jesus as they thought they were they? Because they were still asking the question, who can this be? Who can this be? That's the whole key of the thing in the first place. Finding out who Jesus is. Knowing him. That's our purpose in life, is it not? To know him and to make him known to others? That's the whole point. That's why we're given the scriptures. That's why we study the scriptures. That's why we have fellowship as Christian believers to encourage each other in our faith. And you might know something about God that I don't, because you've experienced something that I haven't experienced yet. And we can help each other. You can encourage me when I'm down. I can encourage you when you're down. And it works that way. We help each other that way. We're pointing each other to Christ. Our familiarity with Christ. Our level of familiarity with Christ is going to affect our level of faith. How well we know him. So there was this issue of trusting his personality, but there was also an issue of trusting his power. That part of that dealt with that. Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? They were astounded by this. That the winds and the sea obeyed him. That would be an amazing thing to see, wouldn't it? Wow. It would be amazing. And they were definitely amazed. And they were amazed that he had such command over the sea and the wind and all of those things. Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Their lack of faith was a result of lack of knowledge of Christ. They didn't know him well enough yet. The more they got to know him, the more their faith increased and the stronger they became. And I would suggest that this was probably the whole point that Jesus wanted them to get. He was showing them something about himself here. The light bulb was coming on. Hey, he's not just some old teacher from Galilee, right? He's different. The rabbis that we dealt with before, they couldn't do this kind of thing. He's different. Who can this be, even the winds and the sea obey him? Not your average, everyday local rabbi, was he? He was more than that. Much, much more. Familiarity builds trust. You know, we were always told as kids, don't talk to strangers. Were you ever told that as a child? Don't talk to strangers. Well, why? Well, we don't know the strangers, do we? They might be good people. They might not. We don't know because we don't know them yet. But when you get to know somebody, then you can build trust in a person. You see what they're like, and you meet somebody, and they're a good person, and you spend time with them, and you can start to understand them and how they operate and what their personality is like, and you begin to build some trust in that person. The more you're with them, the more you interact with them. Same thing is true with us and God. The more we know him, the more we trust him, because the more we've seen him and we see how he operates and we understand how he works and we understand what he can do. And it's one thing to read it and hear it and know it here, but it's another thing to experience it here. And we need both. And when we see him work in our life and in the lives of people we know and do things that we just know it was God working, that increases our faith. So sometimes those things that we can't handle come along so that our faith can increase in that manner. I used to have a t-shirt that said, "Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know Jesus, know peace." In other words, if you know Jesus, you'll know peace. Below it, it said, "Know Jesus, N-O, Jesus, no peace." If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to have peace. And that little phrase is very true. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you're not going to have peace in your life. If you do have Jesus in your life, you are going to have peace in your life. Because you know the one that has command of your situation. I know Jesus right now. Yes, I'm going to be with him in the hereafter. But I know him in the here and now. So do you if you know Jesus. He's our Lord in the here and now. And also in the hereafter. If we can trust him with our eternal destiny, which will go on and on forever in eternity, we can certainly trust him with the brief life we have here. And so, spend the time getting to know him. It's worth it. It'll be worth it to you for sure. It begins with salvation. It begins when we hear about this Jesus, God's Son, who came to this world. He taught his disciples and he went to the cross, and he went to the cross to die to pay for our sins. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that he went to the cross and died to pay for those sins. He took the penalty that we deserved when he died on the cross. And then the same Jesus did not stay dead, but rose from the dead and is in heaven today preparing a place for all who believe. That's what we're told in the scripture. That is the truth. And we can know him. And we can know that he's preparing a place for us, and we can know that he goes with us through the here and now as well. So we begin to know him when we get saved, when we turn from our sins and put our faith in Jesus and begin to follow him. And then we get to know him better as we follow him and as we go with him through life and as we communicate with him and he with us, and we learn from him and we get to know him better and better and better and better. As we look into the Bible and learn what it has to say about him, when we pray and communicate with him, when we practice the spiritual disciplines which we find in the Bible, we get to know him better. That's the whole point of all of this. It's not so you can win the Bible category on Jeopardy. That's not the point. The point is so you know God more. The better we know him, the more we trust him. The more we trust him, the more we have peace in our life. You can have peace no matter what comes your way. You can. Jesus gives that peace. There's an old song that goes something like this. The song's A Shelter in the Time of Storm. You might have heard it before. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. And the chorus of that song is, O Jesus is a rock in a weary land. A weary land, a weary land. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. He is our shelter in the time of storm, is he not? No matter what storm that might be. Literal storm, figurative storm in your life. Whatever that is, if you have Jesus, you have somebody who can take care of you in the midst of that storm. Have faith. Follow Jesus. Have faith. Don't fear. Trust Jesus. Have faith. Know Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for your many blessings that you give to us. That you want to know us. That you've gone to great trouble to get to know us. And to have a relationship with us through Jesus who died on the cross for us. And who rose again. Who's preparing a place for us in heaven. We're thankful that you give an open invitation for anybody who will turn from their sins and put their faith in you, that you will give them eternal life, that you'll be with them in the here and now and off into the hereafter. And there's so many blessings. We could stay all day and recite the blessings that you give to us. We're so thankful for each one. It's my prayer this morning that if there's someone here who does not know Jesus, there's never been a time in their life when they heard the gospel and turned their life over to Jesus. There's never been a time when they asked Him to forgive them for their sins and made a commitment to follow Jesus. It's my prayer they would do so this morning. For those of us who have made that commitment to follow Jesus, and we've been following Jesus maybe a short time, maybe a long time, Lord, it's my prayer that you would help us to get to know you better every day. That we would be closer to you every single day until that final day when we go to be with you in glory. Lord, it's my prayer that you would be with us through the storms of life. We know you're there. Help us to realize it. Help us not to be fearful. Help us to trust you. Yes, you've given us certain resources we can use in certain times and certain places, but you have control of far more than we do. And I just pray that you would help us to trust you and to find peace in that trust. Perhaps there's someone that's dealing with something that it's not even been touched on in the message this morning, but they know what it is. It's a decision you have laid on their heart and you want them to make. It's my prayer they would make that decision this morning, that they would do whatever it is you're calling them to do. So whether it's for salvation, whether it's for a renewal of their commitment to you, whatever the decision might be, maybe there's someone who's looking for a church and you're calling them here. We would welcome them to come and join the church. Whatever that decision, we just pray you will have your will and your way in our hearts this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.